He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And it is cold. I want to tell you.
It's cold, and it's not even supposed to be cold. Well, I mean, no one's making.
I'm going to start out with another great plug for the Jeep cold weather package, because it's going to be minus 20 to minus 30 in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and the wind chill factors are going to be minus 60 and above in those places mid.
It already is.
Well, it already is. But the point is, Canada and Minnesota and some of the real cold northern states and other states in the U.S. have for a long time pretty much required owners to either be able to order cars with engine block heaters, so you could plug them in at night so that the oil and it would be warm and the engine would be warm and start easily in those sub-zero temperatures. And we haven't seen those kind of temperatures here in the East in our broadcast area for some time, although we've had, I would say, record cold in the last 3-4 weeks here. But we haven't had a traditionally long-term, real cold, sub-zero temperatures in recent memory. So I have, an engine block heater in my Jeep Cherokee, which I have yet to unfurl under the engine compartment and have to plug in for whatever reason I might want to have it plugged in for. Now, the other thing it does is if it keeps the engine block warm, you have almost instant heat. But the alternative to that with the Jeeps are you have remote start from inside your house, and you push a button and the engine starts up, the car locks, and walk out 10 minutes later and everything's warm inside. Well, the point being that with this cold weather going on.
You're going to plug it in? Did you plug it in during the last one?
No, I did not.
Okay, so you have the option of plugging it in?
Yeah, I have the option of plugging it in. Now they're putting synthetic oil in many of the engine blocks of the new cars, so I'm not sure you need it for the reasons you needed it last century and early on when you didn't have synthetic oil, because the oil, the multigrade oil, at some point would get a lot thicker and make the engine harder to crank over in the morning. But it's still one of those great little pieces of the packages as part of the cold weather package that we've been saying has been a good Jeep product for a long time.
Very good. For the rest of people who have to start their cars when it's 6 below, any advice?
Make sure you have a good battery. Other than that, it just
generally have a very good battery, because the batteries will fail very quickly if they're not in tip-top condition. And you could have one bad cell in the battery that seems to make the battery work okay, but you get the temperatures that are coming up midweek here, and it might not start your car. And the other thing about a dead or a non-working battery is as if they do go dead, they will freeze, and that can cook a battery pretty much, so it may not ever be good for the rest of its theoretical life if it is dead.
Be flash frozen.
Flash frozen, exactly. Jay, would you like to say something about that, or are you happy with that?
Get a good battery.
Yeah.
Get a good battery. Next, more electric cars are coming online in 2019 than have been readily available beforehand. And Hyundai has got a Kona CUV, which I guess is, what is C for? A compact SUV branded vehicle coming online as an all-electric vehicle. The thing about these all-electric vehicles that are coming online is pretty much they're all over $30,000 at base models.
Who are they being marketed to specifically?
Well, that's a good
everybody
question.
Everybody and anybody?
Everybody or anybody that can bring it up, because the salespeople don't market them at all.
Let's quit dreaming and crying for the cheap electric car. It's just not coming
yet.
I will never forget, and I'm going to say this for a reason, I'll never forget an editor at a major magazine at the time when there were still magazines, turning to her ad people and saying, okay, let's stop right here. Who has more money to spend on this product, me or my assistant? So that's why I'm asking who is we were not going to cry, but what kid is going to – I mean, unless
– kid is not.
And I think for the foreseeable future, it's still going to be trickle down.
Trickle down
technology, and it's going to start with high end cars. Tesla started with a $100,000 car. Now we can argue about the $35,000 Tesla. That's $50,000, but it's still, you know, give or take 60% of the price, or let's say half the price, which is it's an accomplishment. Chevy has a $35,000-ish electric car in the market, and guess what? They're not pushing to sell it because they don't really make any money on it, and that's why you don't see more Chevy Bolts. They would sell everyone they could advertise if they did, but they're not. I was just reading just a few minutes ago. Porsche is already preparing to double up on the production of their first electric car, which is the Taycan. T-A-Y-C-A-N, however we want to pronounce
that. Takeoff on the Cayenne.
Well, not really, but it's a fully electric car. It's a $100,000-$120,000 car. It's going to compete face-to-face, head-to-head with the Tesla S model. And they were planning on a production of 20,000 units a year, and they haven't started selling them, and they're already planning on 40,000. They're hiring people right now to double production. So,
now, to me, that's entirely logical because you've got the people who have been driving their Teslas for X,
yeah,
and they will be very interested in another version.
You've got people who drive Porsches for a living and have one in their garage and will add maybe a Porsche electric to their
The point is,
fleet.
It makes a perfect – to me, there's
and
an untapped –
And they can afford a $100,000 car.
No question. Yeah. There's an untapped, let's call it an obvious market. What I was just
– At the other end of the scale, you've got Nissan and its Leaf, which failed miserably because – not miserably, but failed in the initial introduction because its range wasn't adequate to do a whole lot of anything except stay in the middle of a city and drive under 150 miles a day. Now the new ones are got a new extended range, and the interesting thing about the new Nissan Leaf lineup is that to get the maximum mileage capability with the battery packs that are offered in them, and there's one battery pack, as far as I know, for all the models, you have to buy the base model, which is 74 pounds less than the upgraded models and has a 30-mile better range for its battery pack than the upgraded models do because they're heavier.
I'm a big skeptic when it comes to the Leaf. I think it was doomed with its 80-mile range. And I think, you know, doubling that range, which I think is about what they're doing now, is still a far cry from what Chevy with the Bolt and Tesla and the others.
Well,
coming
the new
the
Leaf
Bolt?
Is over 200 miles, and that's where they think is going to be the tipping point to make people interested. I'm not sure that's quite true. You've got the Teslas with 300-mile range.
You know, 200 was a wow thing in the electric world three years ago. Now 200 is like a bare minimum.
Yes, and the Bolt is what, 245, I think, the Chevy Bolt.
I think the Chevy Bolt is around 245,
And the base Leaf is supposedly 235 to 245, and the upgraded Leaf, which is heavier, is down near the 200-mile mark. And that's under, we don't know whether that's ideal conditions or whether that's under stressed conditions. And stress conditions include cold weather, because cold weather and lithium-ion batteries do not mix as far as capacity capability is concerned.
So what do you do with your Tesla, by the way, in negative 16?
You just don't drive as far before you have to recharge it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's always going to run,
okay,
right away, assuming the battery's in good condition. There's no problem with minus zero temperatures for electric cars as long as the batteries are fully charged,
okay,
at the outset and
so
they're in good condition.
It's a totally separate
situation. Totally separate situation, okay.
Okay.
But electric cars are going to be coming, and the question is, will the dealers and the salespeople try to sell them, or will they just keep selling whatever the customer wants, which is probably what will happen, and they won't sell very many electric cars.
Well, let's go back.
Especially with the decline in the need to get the fleet average up to the 40-plus mile range under the previous administration, which has all short-circuited by the current administration as far as requiring that to happen.
And so what will that do, or what is that actually doing behind the scenes to car marketing?
It doesn't require the dealers to and the manufacturers to market as many electric cars going forward, except maybe in California, which has been threatening to require a certain number of cars to be sold there, on an annualized basis. And I do not know what those numbers are going to be or whether they're going to be able to put them through, because they and the federal government are fighting about whether or not they can keep their regulations and standards in place, or the federal government says, "Oh no, you won't have to do it because we don't want to force these regulations, these mileage regulations, on the manufacturers at this time the way they were from the last administration."
Okay. Are there still incentives to buy electric vehicles?
Up to a numerical number. Tesla has run out of the incentives on the Model S and their model line, I believe. Chevy Bolt was coming up near the limit.
Model 3 as well.
Yeah. Model 3 as well.
Yeah, I think so.
And I don't know whether it's 275,000 cars or what it is, but once the incentives are gone, that may dampen the sales further, because, again, you still got the wealthy people who can buy those cars over the basic population who can't afford those cars. So then, and they may not even, the basic population may not even be able to benefit from those tax incentives. I don't know. But they're going to be going away if electric car sales take off. And, in 5 years, there'll probably be no incentives unless a new model comes on, which to that end is a new Chinese model. It's at the NADA, National Automobile Dealers Association meeting. It's called Zote.
Some pronounce it Zote.
I thought Zote. Y had a Y in it. And
from
Zote.
It's a compact SUV, and from certain angles, it looks a little like a Range Rover.
Yes, it does. I noticed that.
You noticed that, right?
The side angle, particularly.
But it was interesting to bring that up. I think Robin is referring to the same article we actually watch or listen to online. And it's one of the many Chinese car manufacturers, and it's another one that I did not know, to be honest.
Well, it looks like it's a takeoff and knockoff of
there
a
is a Zote USA. They're hiring dealers. They have about 20 so far. They're looking at getting about 325
stores they want, ideally. But
very loose on their requirements as far as dealers are concerned, because the dealers that were interviewed are going to add those car lineups to their existing
stores.
Lineups, but mostly putting them on their used car lots, which is kind of interesting.
A Lexus dealer was one of the interviewees, They were all smiles in this particular TV interview thing, which both of us looked at. And one guy, they're so excited because they don't have to build a new facility. They're not going to have sales goals that they have to do and all sorts of things. And yet I find it sort of interesting that a Lexus dealer who wants to have a Zote line somewhere off in the back lot of his fancy Lexus store. And I don't know what the profit area for those vehicles are going to be. They are Chinese made, and they'll be American bound. I don't know if Zote's got I don't think Zote's got an American base of manufacturing like I think another one does.
No.
Right?
Anyways,
it looks
strictly
awfully
imports.
Much like they have robbed. They have basically stolen European architecture visual and grills and sideline body roof lines and all that. And as Jay said, it looks an awful lot like one of the Range
from
Rover
certain
models
angles,
from
yeah.
certain angles.
Yeah.
Or an Explorer even, maybe, because an Explorer looks like a Range Rover too, you know, from certain angles. And what they will do, whether or not Americans will think that they want to go risk buying a Zote.
Sure they will.
They will, because it'll be a lot cheaper.
No doubt in my mind.
Okay.
We bought Japanese cars in the 70s. We bought Korean cars in the 90s going into the 2000s.
True, and they got better and better.
Well, they were not bad to begin with. They were simple. And they worked. And they were reliable. And I think the Chinese cars are going to follow the same
pattern.
Pattern, exactly. Yeah. Except that there'll be 10 times more of them.
And then... Is the
Zote?
Are they going to – so is the plan to expand into their own dealerships, or are they always going to
– We don't know that. Okay. This is, they're trying to get a foothold in the U.S. market, and the way to do it is to basically dump these vehicles onto a parking lot.
To be quite honest, this was the NADA convention, National Association of Dealers.
Well, they unveiled this automobile vehicle.
Dealers. Okay. And this made me think a lot of the very amateurish imports of – even the Beetle and the
remember
Toyota,
the
Skoda, the Yugo, all those.
The Yugo, that was the other one.
Let's try this and bring this cheap thing and see if it flies and it sticks. And you know what?
Cheap sells.
And a lot of them did. I mean, yeah. I was just reading a couple of days ago about the 70th anniversary of the first imported Beetle. And it was, I think, kind of a flop. And
Well, it was a military vehicle originally.
But it had been in Europe after the war. So, I mean, 70 years ago is what, 1947, 1949, something like that? 1949, yeah. You're right. And the first import was I think, a bit of a flop. And then soon after, somebody else took it over, and then the rest is history.
When did it become the...
In the 60s.
Yeah.
The Beetle, in the 60s.
The early Beetles were like all these new vehicles, except the Zotye looks pretty sophisticated right off the bat, were very basic forms of transportation. And the Beetles had air-cooled engines, and their heaters were – they had gasoline-fired heaters in some of their vehicles because the heaters were otherwise driven by engine fan speed, and you had to rev the thing up to get enough heat to come out the defroster vents in the corner of the windshield. My family had one of those. And they were miserable in cold air, cold weather, because they just would not heat. They did not have the gasoline-powered heating system.
I totally remember being driven to school in Buffalo, New York, and it was cold.
It was cold. It just would not heat.
There was no – but, it's
– But we've gone a long way since those days of basic car transportation. Now with all the safety features and the technology that is coming – on stream at all levels, starting with the higher levels, but moving downward, you can't bring a real basic car into the sales stream anymore, I don't think.
What do we have as basic cars, really?
Good question.
I know.
What?
I know. That little Mitsubishi rental you had?
Yeah.
Well, that was basic.
Yeah, basic, but it's still...
Three-cylinder, little 12-inch or 13-inch wheels.
Well, you've got the three-cylinder Ford, too. What is that?
So my question is also, do you remember, was it Tata that was... I'm going to India for a second, but they were...
Well, Tata's basic cars in India are still basic, and they were going to sell them for like $5,000 a car.
Yeah,
and I don't ever know whatever happened to those $5,000
cars. They bought Range Rover and Jaguar, and they're doing pretty well with that.
Right.
Yeah. And they aren't $5,000. But this was for the common people in India that they were going to get the $5,000 model.
And will the people – I remember many decades ago going to Japan for somebody's wedding, and the man collected Bentleys.
There are a lot of people that collect these cars.
No, but what I'm saying is the cars on the road were far more, again, who are you marketing to? The cars on the road were far, far, far more basic.
Yeah,
but
than Bentleys, correct.
Hey, I grew up in the 80s in Europe, and we had Ladas.
Yeah,
the Ladas
which were knockoff Fiats.
They were knockoff Fiats, and they were basic.
And they still, I don't know if they still are. I think a Renault.
Russian.
Renault has a joint venture with Lada.
That may be true, but they were basically Russian sourced.
But it was a Fiat 124, and then, they evolved from there. And I remember seeing, I've seen one Lada on the road in the U.S., and this was like 20 years ago. It had been imported to Canada, and somebody from Canada had crossed the border with a Lada.
They're pretty crude.
So,
hey, they were fun.
And you had Malcolm Bricklin. What did Malcolm Bricklin start out with before he built the Bricklin automobile? He imported, what were they? They were...
I don't know, but you must have one.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Stuck with your Bricklin.
But Malcolm Bricklin started with basic cars before he designed his own. And I think he was
maybe
he
should have stuck with
something.
The basic one.
He
imported
the basic. They're still being made, and the Bricklin isn't.
All right. So the long short is there isn't very much if you want a basic car. There's not very much that...
There's not...
No, but the Toyota's got some basic cars, and Ford, what is it, EcoSport or something?
Oh, isn't the EcoSport made in China, by the way?
I'm not sure, but it's a three-cylinder car, and it was not reviewed very well in MotorWeek's test of CUVs or minis UVs a few weeks ago on TV.
What is a mini UV?
It was last of the third. A very small-sized vehicle. And it's really the size of the vehicle.
What is the point, just for one
cheap,
person?
Well, you know, the manufacturers seemed that and felt a need to bring in inexpensive cars because they thought that there was a consumer market for it. It's amazing how few people want those very basic cars. The Smart Ford 2 is a disaster as far as success. The Fiat 500, two-door.
Well, I have a theory on that. The small car market is not there because for the same price, let's say $15,000, you know, bottom price new car, you can go out and buy a lot of used car.
That's correct.
A very nice, normal. Yeah. With a bigger, more comfortable, more features,
interior,
and still a very good car. And I get back to the point that cars are way better built than they were before. So even if you buy a car with 80,000 miles on it, 100,000 miles, if you don't drive all that much, if you drive 10,000 miles a year, you can still drive that car for 5 or 6 years and not have any more trouble than you would with a new little shoebox.
And the other – I don't – understand the marketing angle of this at all, but if you are driving on a turnpike with big, huge trucks and whatnot in your little smart car,
there are not many of them on the Mass Turnpike,
I've seen them too. I've seen them on the Jersey Turnpike, but it's a little disconcerting because you are certainly at a disadvantage.
I drove back from Florida years ago in my Miata at the time, mm-hmm. So I went from Florida up 95 all the way back here. It was a little, it was...
It can be intimidating.
It was intimidating at times. Yeah, for sure. Especially in the southern states where the legal speed limit is 75 miles an hour. So, traffic is cruising at 80. And you're there with
not very much.
Not much around you.
Yeah. And so even with the safety ratings of the Smart, which they did a they spent a lot of time marketing that, it's like it's a cage, an elephant can stand on it, et cetera. It doesn't, you don't have an elephant sort of draped over your trunk, your vehicle.
It's a city car. It's made for European cities. It has a purpose there.
And did it
anybody
sell
who's occupied
it
slowly.
It still does, yeah. Uh-huh.
In Europe, it did. Yeah. But Europe's a different market.
Of course, for so many things.
So let's move to
cars that
may not seem but what they are. And my pick of the car for the show is this new Supra from Toyota is coming out that I finally read the article on and found out that it's pretty much built out of BMW parts, or at least the engine is, the drivetrain.
It is a joint venture, and both BMW and Toyota sell the car. So I'm sure Toyota does bring something to the plate, and they probably bring something to the plate on the manufacturing process side of things. That's my guess. But
they have in this article, they have a picture of the new BMW Z4, which is making a comeback to the market, which is a two-seat coupe. With the Supra pictured also, and of course there's no similarity visually between the two cars. But the drivetrains are not too dissimilar. They may be mildly different. It's akin to the Toyota and the Subaru version of the BRX.
BRZ.
Which one are
you going to get?
I'm getting none
of
them.
Why?
I don't need any of that anymore. I sold my Mini Cooper. I have a Mustang, which is equally good for the Supra Z4 world, and it's all paid for, and it's almost 15 years old. It's almost an antique.
Oh, I would get the BMW.
Okay. So.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.